It's time now for The Other Side, and we are joined here in the studio by Orange County Conservative Ashley Campbell to take a look at the world after the midterms. How are you?
Yes, I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. When last we talked, it was the world during the midterms, wasn't it? It was on midterm day.
Yes.
So thoughts about the results and after?
Well, I guess for the most part, things turned out the way I expected them
to. As expected, yeah.
Yes, speaking of Congress, the Democrats regained the House, Republicans retained the Senate by, you know, roughly the majorities that, or not majorities, but the numbers people were guessing. So not a ton of surprises,
right.
I feel like.
And
same for
and
the state level.
And state level, too, right? The four amendments passed, the other two failed, the gains for the Democrats in the General Assembly, like all
right.
that was predicted. So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And that seems pretty universal. It's like statewide. I don't know of any counties that didn't really vote in line with the, you know, as far as the amendments go, with the four that passing there at the local level, and, you know, for the two that didn't pass, they're not voting against it. So it just seemed like statewide, this was just what everybody wanted.
I like a world with no surprises.
Well,
at this point, right?
Like, well,
I like a world with occasional surprises, but maybe not on election day.
Nice
so
surprises.
Much. Yeah.
Like, you know,
pre-planned surprises, maybe.
Yeah, pre-planned surprises, or like an extra pie at Thanksgiving or something like that. That would be fine.
Yeah, I like that. The world with no surprises whatsoever would be boring, but maybe an election day with one election day with no surprises is kind of nice to have every so often.
Yeah. I mean, I was surprised at how many recounts were required
and how close
a lot of races were. But that is really the largest thing I didn't expect.
And the world that we're moving into, where it's taking longer to get a final result just because we've got more mail-in votes and more uncertainty about some of the machines that are being used, but also just the number of states that are allowing people to mail in ballots or doing more and more voting by mail. I think that's going to be a trend down the road nationwide. I think we're moving into a world where we might not have even a clear picture at the end of election night of what the final results are going to be until a couple days later.
I guess that's true. I mean, you would expect with things seemingly getting faster and faster technology wise that this would increase as well, but maybe there is a little more uncertainty because there are so many different methods and there's a lot of different ways that are done across the different states, just of the way elections are held. And I was reading an Ask Me Anything that was on Reddit that was from a Broward County, Florida elections worker. And I
was there any question really, other than variations on what is going on down there?
That was the large majority of what the questions were.
And you were reading.
This person seemed to be, I will say, in her mid-20s and very young and optimistic, and which is great, you know, about the whole elections process. But some of the things she shared, I was really surprised at, you know, and it's kind of like, well, of course, Broward County has a lot of problems because they even have polling places that are within gated communities and things like that, that are just huge issues for, I mean, you have to, we talk a lot about voter ID and showing ID at the polls, but there are actually polling places in this county that has had so many problems with elections over the past, you know, recent years, where you have to show ID to even get into the community to go to your polling place.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Yeah. And so security guards at these gated communities are actually determining who gets in to vote. And I don't know why this is allowed to exist.
Wow.
But that's what I read on the internet. So, okay. You know, but so just put that disclaimer out there. But it was really interesting.
Oh, that's interesting.
Ask Me Anything. If I guess it's still out there.
It's got to be.
But if people look it up,
I think part of the problem that we have with and a lot of the debates that we have about things like voter ID and election security and things like that in general are partly just derived from the fact that our system of our election system is just so piecemeal, right? That,
yeah.
I mean, one of the things that has conservatives in particular concerned about voter fraud is all of these hanging registrations for people who clearly don't live in the community anymore. Well, it's because people move to another community and you don't even think to unregister yourself from the previous community. You just go on and register for the next one. If there was just some way of when you register right. for new house, it automatically deregisters you from old house, then we wouldn't have that problem,
yeah.
but we don't have that system.
No, I don't have a great answer for how to fix that. You know, I know a lot of, well, maybe not a lot, but some states have a motor voter, you know, when you
yes.
go get your license, you're registered to vote. You know, I would like to think that that could ease some of those issues, but in our situation in North Carolina, we have a DMV that's pretty much split in half, that, you know, you have one place where you do your licenses and one place where you do your license and, or sorry, your title registrations
yes,
and
yeah.
stuff. And they can't even talk to one another. So I don't know
yeah.
if in those instances, if it's really going to streamline the
process. And the motor
or
voter
not.
Law is a national law. So we've got
well,
that on a national level
we
and
do.
We still have this issue.
Yeah.
I know.
So I'm fine with every state having their own system, you know, whatever works best for that state. But
yeah.
it seems like there's got to be a way to have results come back in more quickly, less uncertainty.
And I feel like that has, I think that just, that takes the political will of leaders to sit down and figure this out. And I think part of, and this kind of gets us to what we were planning on talking about today in the first place, which is thoughts and hopes and fears for the next 2 years in Washington
oh, yeah.
and I guess in Raleigh as well. Like one of the problems I think with just political discourse today is that it's not even a question of polarization. It's a question of the two sides and all of us just getting so entrenched and locked in our particular positions on
yeah.
this issue that we don't think that there are other ways of looking at it. Like the Democrats or progressives think this thing, Republicans or conservatives think that thing. And the actual solution is not a compromise between the two, but just coming at the issue from a completely different angle and saying, oh, how about we do this that actually resolves everyone's concerns? It's just that everyone's just so stuck in their trenches that they don't think of an alternative perspective.
Right. No, I think that there's a lot to what you're saying and a lot of the issues that concern everyone can be remedied by a solution that nobody has really put forth. It seems like more and more that people are siloed and more even politicians are just trying to convince their own base that, you know, some idea is good. It's not about convincing people outside
yes.
of their normal yeah. voting base. And that's just a huge problem.
Yeah.
I feel like since we're coming up on Thanksgiving, I was thinking about what I'd said last year, I believe, where I think we talked about this last year, that, you know, it's possible to have civil political discussions with your friends, family, you know, the people that you're getting
yes.
together with for Thanksgiving. I was very optimistic about that last year. I don't know if I am as much this year. I feel like it's gotten to a point where it may be, you know, unless you're willing to alienate members of your family or ostracize yourself, I'm not even sure that it's a good route to go around the Thanksgiving table anymore
yeah.
because people have gotten so stuck in just talking to people who agree with them or trying to convince somebody who already mostly agrees with them, and it's not, you know, a huge obstacle to reach out to them and trying to have a civil discussion about issues. I feel like it's getting harder and harder.
Yeah. And the thing that I keep kind of hanging on to is just the history of political discourse in America, which is A, political fights around the Thanksgiving table are not a new phenomenon. Like they go back to the first Thanksgiving ever. So this isn't a brand new thing. And It's also not a new phenomenon for people to be stuck in their silos and only read the news outlets that they agree with and only talk to the people that they agree with as well. And partisanship in news outlets is not new either. There was that hot second in the like 60s and 70s when there were only the three major news outlets on TV, and that was it, when they were actively trying to be neutral, and the entire rest of American history is nothing but partisan news outlets, which is hilarious. Because we forgot everything before 1950, but it's still the case. So none of this is new, but it's still concerning.
Right.
And it seems to be getting more and more entrenched in partisan.
And maybe cyclical, you know.
Possibly,
These things, you know, ebb and wane. But
the cyclical view of history is simultaneously frustrating and really reassuring all at the same time.
Sure, yeah. Well, you know, and it's comparatively, our lifespans are not very long. So even when we look at history to be either reassured or just to learn from, you know, we still have an urge to fight for whatever causes we believe in or changes that we want to make, because we want it to happen in our lifespans. We want to be able to see the fruits of our labor, or at least for the next generation, you know, the longest. And I'd say for most people, that's true. And, you know, that's like you're saying about the 1950s. Well, that's, you know, living memory. That's how far we can go back to easily see what the news used to be like compared to today, or what politics, you know, rhetoric used to be like compared to today.
Yeah. So. Ashley Campbell, thank you so much.
Thank you, Aaron.